you'll hear some crunching and bones and things now while she takes it apart. And then when she's through feeding on Teresa's arm, in the meantime, Cheryl will be loading her glove.
Haines' new live bird center gets its first residents. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Lawmakers created a new state forest in southern southeast Alaska shortly before they adjourned for the year. They passed a bill combining about 20 state parcels, totaling about 25,000 acres. Most of the land is on central and northern Prince of Wales Island, including near Thorn Bay, Whale Pass, Edna Bay, and Kaufman Cove. Parcels are also near Ketchikan and Wrangell. State Forester Chris Mache says the goal is to improve timberlands so they can support the region's struggling mills.
Some of the land has been harvested in the past, and so we will actively manage those lands to do pre-commercial thinning to speed the growth of the young timber that's growing back on those sites. But we still have stands of timber that we'll continue to harvest.
The state's ongoing timber sale program provides between 8.5 and 9 million board feet a year. The state forest will not increase sales in the short term, but Mache says it will guarantee the land is not sold or selected by a borough.
When we do build access into timber sales, we'll build higher order roads, and often we might use a bridge that we'll leave in place as opposed to a log stringer bridge. And so we'll basically be making investments for the long term, since we know we'll own and manage this land now for the long term.
The land will continue to be available for hunting and other public use. Mache says road building for logging will increase access to some areas. The Southeast Forest will be the third in the state system, after the Haines State Forest and the one in Tanana Valley near Fairbanks. It's spring, and the birds are here. But there are a few new arrivals that won't be leaving this fall as the other birds migrate south.
Hey, Zilla. Hey, girl. She's happy to see us. Are you ready, girl? Yeah, I think she's ready. So,
Zilla the falcon is one of three birds that are moving into the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines. Over the last year, the foundation has been working to expand its building, build four small mews, or places for birds to live, and one big eagle mew. And they got a new avian curator, too, Dan Hart, who's been with the foundation since 1994.
Today you're going to get a special treat because today is going to be the first day that Cheryl and Teresa are going to feed her on the glove inside her mew. She's going to fly back and forth between the two of them.
Dan walks from the foundation across the parking lot to the smaller mews outside. That's where Zilla lives now. But the two used to be roommates. Dan worked with Zilla for about 5 months last winter, sharing a camper with her by night and training with her at Alabama's Southeastern Raptor Center by day. Dan walks into her room, charms his old roommate into her cage, and takes her back to the foundation for her daily weigh-in.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to get Zilla, our little falcon. We weigh her each day, and that's how we maintain her training regimen, is by knowing what her weight is, because that determines how responsive she is to training and handling.
They maintain her at what they call flight weight. For Zilla, that's between 700 and 710 grams.
That's when she responds wonderfully and is well behaved. If she gets above about 20, she gets very, very cantankerous. If she gets to 730, she just ignores you like you don't exist.
And Zilla, happy and healthy, totally botches the weigh-in.
Good girl.
Well, have you been ready?
Yeah, she's in the fat zone now.
Yeah.
See what that was?
720.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you about her weight. She's getting almost to the zone where she's going to become less responsive. Another 4 or 5 grams and she'll be the way. But I promise you, these two will get her to respond well when we get outside the mew, because they have food in their pouches. All right. Are you ready, girl?
Cheryl and Teresa are serving rat and quail today. Cheryl McRoberts is Director of Operations at the Foundation, and Teresa DeRosa is a volunteer bird handler in training. They're dressed in special leather gloves designed to hold the bird in place on their hands.
Cuffs go on her wrist, her ankles, and then there's leather jesses that go down, and that's what you actually hold on to while you're working with the bird to keep them under control.
Zilla is rather well-trained, which means she comes to Dan without baiting. Plus, she knows it's feeding time.
So as you might guess, when we get them from a rehab center, they're not trained at all. And so when you go in, they go everywhere and go crazy. But in Zilla's case, we've worked with her so much that she's completely glove trained. She goes right to her perch, she goes right in her kennel. And then you'll see her aggressive side when we bring the food in. Then you'll see her become much more aggressive.
Zilla is from Texas. She's a hybrid falcon, a mix between a saker and a lanner falcon.
And so she was originally in Texas. She was raised there in captivity from a hatchling. And then she was sent to Alabama to a falconer. And he kept her for a few years, and use her as a falconry bird, but because she's a desert falcon, she didn't do well in thick, dense brush that they have in South Alabama where he was. And so he decided to convert her. And when I went down for my training last year, he was actually my mentor to train me about eagles. And he said, guess what? I have just the bird to get your program started.
Hart went to Alabama's Southeastern Raptor Center last winter to train to handle raptors. The center is part of Auburn University's College of Veterinary Medicine. The former falcon owner he trained with donated Zilla to the Haynes Bald Eagle Foundation. All that was left was getting Hart certifications accepted by U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
They accepted all my certifications and issued our permit, and we're up and running. Now we have more birds offered to us than we have place to put. We've got three in the wings now trying to make places for them.
Right now, there's room for four birds in the new rooms that were built last year. The Eagle Mew is still under construction, but will have room for several bald eagles when it's sealed.
So what will happen is there will be two or three live bald eagles that will stay in here full-time as display birds. And then the smaller birds will stay out here in these mews. But we have to finish this before we can do that. Obviously, we've got to put in all the mesh, put in the enclosures, seal it off. And then on this side, we're going to build small mews. And this will be for things like screech owls, saw-whet owls, kestrels, the little bitty birds. Because theirs only have to be 5x5 or 5x7. So when people come through, they'll see the big eagles here, they'll see the little birds over here, and their daily displays, and then we'll actually have educational programs inside the museum where they'll see them up close and personal.
And one of those eagles is already here. It's George Two Toes. He's been adjusting to his new room over the last week and his new diet of hooligan and quail. Over the next few days, the Foundation's third bird arrives in Haynes. Hunter is a female barred owl from the Juneau Raptor Center. It has a broken wing that was repaired with a pin, meaning she can't be released back into the wild. Then a fourth, a great horned owl with two broken wings, had its vet checkup on Friday. That exam will determine whether or not it can be released. If it can't, it could be in Haynes within a month. And that's just the beginning. McRoberts says the offers for birds keep coming in.
Disco Raptor Center has an eagle that was just shot recently. Have you heard about that? There were six eagles shot in Sitka by a young man who got a .22 rifle for Christmas. And he went walking on the nature trail and shot six eagles and a trumpeter swan. One eagle survived, but it's missing part of the wing. They had to amputate part of the wing. So that's an eagle that might be available, according to Vicki Vosburg.
Teresa has been volunteering with the foundation since last fall.
I'm learning how to handle raptors and hopefully become certified.
Someday, with enough hours.
There's no required number of hours to become certified to handle migratory birds, except for eagles. For eagles, 300 hours of work is required to be a certified handler. To do public programs with eagles, there's a 500-hour prerequisite. Again, curator Dan Hart.
And that's what we're working for here, because it wouldn't be very appropriate for the American Bald Eagle Foundation not to have bald eagles, and that was the big thing. So, as far as the certification here, we can certify anybody to work with migratory birds once they've accomplished all the things and we feel that they're confident and able to do the things they need to do. You know, feed them, care for them, weigh them, handle them carefully, do the things that are safe for both the handler and the bird, and then ultimately be able to do programs with them, education programs.
Dan and Zilla got here at the end of March. Now that the falcon has passed her West Nile virus test, she's cleared for programs. Most of the foundation's birds will either come from rehabilitation centers or situations where they were raised in captivity. Hart says if a bird can be released, they're generally required to be set free. Back in Zilla's mew, Cheryl and Teresa stand at opposite corners of the office-sized room, which also has some features like a couple windows, a shelf, and a perch. Dan passes Zilla over to Cheryl, who will start the feeding process.
Step. If you're raise your hand right up to your chest.
Step.
Push back just a little.
Step.
There you go. Good job. You get adjusted.
Let me know when you're in position. Way.
Teresa has her back to Cheryl until Zilla is done eating with her.
Now, Cheryl, I'm ready to go, so let me know if I can turn around. Okay, you can turn around. Okay. Zilla.
Grab a Jess.
I almost missed it.
Zilla flies over to Teresa's wrist. Teresa grabs the leather Jess attached to Zilla's ankle and connects the bird to her glove using a metal ring.
It's quite a thrilling thing to see a raptor coming at you.
What you do is you grab the Jess first thing, and then she's very calm because the food is safe. But like this, she'll mantle to protect it, and that's what they do in the wild so that other predators won't see her food. You'll hear some crunching and bones and things now while she takes it apart. And then when she's through feeding on Teresa's arm, in the meantime, Cheryl will be loading her glove And when she's ready to go and she's through eating, then Cheryl will direct her over there, and Teresa will turn her loose, and she'll fly over there for the next part. Generally, about the first two or three times, she'll do real good, and then she starts getting full. And by the third or fourth time, she's not interested.
It's important for the bird's nutrition to feed them the entire rat, or quail, or whatever they're eating. The viscera, the hair, the skin, the organs, and the bones. The bird swallows pieces whole, stores the food in its craw, digests what it can, and regurgitates the rest as a pellet.
Slap her wrist.
Zilla.
See, it's already showing up.
Zilla.
And Zilla must know she's overweight, because she isn't too interested in eating the rest of her rat.
It's okay, Zilla. Go ahead.
It doesn't take much from there, fat.
The American Bald Eagle Foundation has been planning to have a live bird center for about 10 years now, and private donations and state money have made it happen up to this point. But construction and training continues, with a meeting for new volunteers coming up on May 3rd. Then, the first programs for the public could begin as soon as June. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. Share your local news with anyone. Just send them a link to khns.org. Archives of past newscasts are under the Listen tab.